be able to speak this message today to you, found in the book of Acts in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. But we're going to use as the initial text Luke 24 and 49. Luke 24 and 49. Then also Acts 1 and 8. And then we'll go into Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. This is Pentecost Sunday. And we're celebrating today the day of Pentecost. And I just want you to ride along with me in this journey through what happened and what is happening and would continue to happen in our hearts as the Lord leads us. The subject is the promise of the Holy Spirit power. The promise of the Holy Spirit power. And if there's anything that I could say today that would amplify what I'm about to speak, is that what this nation needs, again, is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit power across this nation. Before I preach, and I will preach in a moment, I will tell you that things would change dynamically across this nation if that would happen. Deliverance would happen in homes. Addictions would be broken. Healings would happen miraculously. People would be set free. Gangs would join hands with one another and restore friendships. Boundaries would be broken. And most of all, Jesus Christ would be glorified. Marriages would be healed. Friendships would be brought back together if the Holy Ghost, if I may say it like that, would be allowed back into the home and into the relationships. If that outpouring would come, which it will and it is going to, if people would accept that and live by that, there would be such grace and mercy bestowed from that individual to other individuals and reciprocal. Because God's power brings unity. Read with me now in Luke chapter 24 in verse 49. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Jesus is speaking this to his disciples. He's giving them a directive. This is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. And this is what's going to happen because I don't want your ministry starting without this power. Acts 1 and 8. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In other words, when you receive this power, you're going to be great witnesses. You are going to be a great witness for my kingdom throughout the world, beginning in your own home, beginning in your own neighborhood, beginning in your own city, in your own county, in your own state, and across this world globally. That's powerful to realize that this is what he wanted his disciples to do. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. From Luke 24 and 49 to Acts 1 and 8, to the beginning and the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Jesus gave directive. He told them what was going to happen, but to be patient and wait. He told them again what will happen and what would become of them after that power was received. And then, in that upper room, on the day of Pentecost, they're celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. Nations from all over the area, the Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia. All these nations were part there, celebrating, and there were these wonderful disciples, 120 of them, in an upper room waiting for the promise to come. Not knowing the exact moment in time, but they were waiting. Waiting for God to fulfill. You see, these three scriptures, they hold great promise and promise with great results. Tremendous results came from what happened in that particular room that day. It was only 9 o'clock in the morning, by the way, when the Holy Spirit came. So if you're not a morning person, oh well. They were in one accord in one place. When those were baptized in the fire that day of Pentecost, came forth from that room and spoke out loud and shared their experience with many nations, those nations that I have just spoken to you, who were gathered to celebrate that day. They were in celebration. They were there. But God had His own plan for His disciples, for a celebration to happen that was beyond anyone's hope and dream what would become that day in their presence. The persons that received were ordinary people like you and I. Regular folks, if you may. They weren't anybody special and registered for special lineup for this. And they bought tickets to get in, or they had to show pedigree or some sort of an application to be approved by somebody to get in. They were just people that believed God, that trusted God, that wanted only what God wanted. And no matter how long they were going to wait, they were going to be in one place, in one accord. They were sharing in a language that the other nations could understand. All those nations there. It even states that the Cretans and the Arabs, that we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. All these nations heard their language from these people coming down the stairs in this upper room in the day of Pentecost, where the church was birthed. This is an action of the Holy Spirit. It comes to an obedient Christian who will be baptized in fire. Even the Bible declares that John said, "One comes whose sandals I am not even worthy to latch. I baptize you in water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire," referring to Jesus. How wonderful it is that we understand that there is something that we can receive from the Lord that is not just a one-time experience. It's not just this happened once, okay. It's an experience that continues to infiltrate and overflow in your life. And when they came down that day, and all this knowledge was being brought forth, and people were listening to the wonderful works and wonders of God, the question was asked, what does this mean? What does this mean? Peter answered that question, first of all, by saying they're certainly not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk. But he went on to explain to them what was going on in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I want you to understand, all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see vision. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone. All. This is not an invitation only gathering. This is not just for a certain culture or a certain neighborhood, a certain creed. This is for everybody. This is for all that would come and be part of what God has. I'm so glad to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm so glad to know that the power of the Holy Spirit indwells within you. Indwells in the power and the anointing of God. And God wants to baptize those in the Holy Ghost and fill them with the power of God, that they would be able to do the things that He spoke about in this fulfillment of prophecy spoken in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. He wanted them to know that a fulfillment is going to come. We are a fulfillment of a prophetic word spoken to Joel in a time where there was a necessity for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We are a fulfillment of God's great love and mercy. We're the fulfillment of those that are willing to prophesy. Sadly to say, and not to stay on a sad moment, but several people across the world today, and especially in our nation, have tried and continue to silence the Holy Spirit, and not even wanting the Spirit of the Lord to be part of the service because they don't want to praise radically. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is radical. What He did was radical. And who He gave us as a gift, the Holy Ghost, makes us radical. Amen. And we need to know that it's nothing to be afraid of. It's something that we should embrace, allow to fill us with His power and His great love and mercy, to give us the gift of tongues to speak and to pray, to bless us with the gifts of the Holy Ghost of the living God, the gifts of knowledge and the gifts of wisdom, the gifts of healing. Praise God, and to know that what He does for us is a gift given to us through the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. That'll change a life, you know. That'll bring change to someone. Secondly, salvation has drawn near and it has become approachable because of what Jesus Christ did. His dying on the cross and coming forth on the third day from that tomb alive forevermore in the bodily resurrection. And now 50 days after that resurrection, the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit is given in power, and the church is birthed, and there is power that to all that would ask, to all that would believe, not to be afraid of and to hide from, but to desire and want to be so involved with what God is doing here on this earth. I'll tell you what this nation needs. It needs a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what church needs across America. A fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost again. In Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 39. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do? What should we do now that this has happened? Now that you've explained this, now that we've heard the wondrous works of God, what shall we do?" They did not say, "It's noon, we need to get to the restaurant." They didn't say, "That sure is a long sermon." They didn't say, "What are we doing now? Let's just go hang out someplace. I'm getting out of here. This is a little too radical for me. I don't want any part of this." They were cut to the heart by the first Holy Ghost filled preaching ever spoken in the New Testament besides that of Jesus. Peter speaks a message that cuts to the heart of all nations that were there, nations as far as Babylonia. They were there and they heard these words that made a difference in their lives. My God, I have prayed this week that you that are here today would hear a word that would make a difference in your life. That you would ask, "What shall I do?" Praise God. To have what Jesus wants to give, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. He said this, Peter did. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." What he's saying there is, Jesus is fulfilling the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All that was ever spoken about, all that was ever prophesied about from the very foundations of the earth. Jesus has fulfilled that by coming forth out of that tomb. And we all are invited to ask for the forgiveness of our sins. That we would receive forgiveness and we would be saved and then baptized and the gift of the Holy Spirit would be given to us. That wasn't just for then. It says right there in verse 39. "For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Everyone who God calls. What happens with this baptism? Number one, you get the power to pray. I told myself, when God was preparing this into my spirit, that I wouldn't spend a long time on this subject because that's my life. But the power to pray in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, "When you know not what ought to pray, the Holy Spirit comes forth in groanings and utterings." Praying in the Spirit. The power to pray where the enemy of our soul backs off, stands back as the prayers go forth, as you seek God for your family, as you seek God for your marriage, as you seek God for your friendships, as you seek God for the goals of your life, as you seek God for the level of education that you desire to have, as you seek God for that which is a dream in your life. And I want to say to you today, dream big, think large, believe for the greatest, Because God is the God that can fulfill your dreams. He can bring the large hopes that you have into fruition into your life. And you can move forward into the fullness of what God has. He doesn't want you to be empty. He wants you to be overflowing with His love, with His mercy, with His grace, with all that He could possibly give you, especially the power to overcome and the power to be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves us. Secondly, He gives us the power to worship. I wish to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, that once again in this nation, that worship would come forth in power. That people would be worshiping in power. Worshiping, weeping before the Lord and praising Him because of the great love that stirs deep within their spirit. Some of you may be looking at me this morning and say, I really don't understand what you're saying. That's because the church has been so silent for so many years that your generation has never experienced the things that I'm saying. But I remember days when worship went on for hours. And no one complained because they were worshiping in power. I remember days when people were healed during worship services, delivered from addictions of the worst state. Salvation came right at the pew, right there between the person and Jesus Christ. Prayers were answered. Words were given that were real words that meant something to somebody. Joy was restored where there was sadness. Despair was replaced with the dynamics of God's presence and the overflowing of His glory. Depression became non-existent. And there was such encouragement and hope that all they could do is praise and worship. I met with a pastor's wife yesterday for about 15 minutes. She came to me and she said, we're a Pentecostal church here. And I said, yes, I know. And it's a good movement that you guys have. She said, but my husband is just wondering recently why we haven't been praying in tongues in our church or talking about Pentecost. We never even mention that we're Pentecostal. We don't even speak about it. And I looked at her and I said, because God is starting to bring this back into your life. He's doing this across the Bay Area, across California, Nevada, across this nation. He's speaking again into the hearts of the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, into those that attend the church and want more. He's letting them know that the missing ingredient is going to be replaced again. It's coming back. It's going to be added in again into the service, and that is the power to pray. And the power to worship. And the power to say that we are who we are in Christ Jesus. That we are what God has designed us to be. We are believers in the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate the day of Pentecost because it's a day of love and a day of power and a day of great anointing. No longer to be silent. Why, you say this, Pastor? Why do we have to have this? Because He wants us to have power in witnessing. The reason the church doesn't witness like it used to, because they don't have the power generated like they used to. Oh, the Holy Spirit hasn't been taken from them. It hasn't been put over to the corner. It's the Holy Spirit is God. It's you can't take the Holy Spirit and shelf Him. You can't take the Holy Spirit and tell Him to get away from you. He's God. Yeah. But you can will not to obey, to be silent, to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God, which brings those to salvation. Romans 1 and 16. We can actually feel in our lives where there's a sense of discomfort because someone may speak out loud or pray in tongues or want healing or wants to pray with their hands up. I remember being a great gathering one day at Hume Lake. Hundreds of people were there. Hundreds. Charismatic, Pentecostal, and non-charismatic. Non-Pentecostal. Great people. All one in Christ. We all worshiped. It was wonderful. But you know, when you start to worship and the Holy Ghost gets involved, Pentecostals do things. We shout.
Hallelujah.
We lift our hands. We look around to see if anybody else is getting with us. We enjoy the presence of God. And I looked around and people were like this and like praising and weeping and crying out. I was praising so loudly there that day because there was a group of a quartet that came and sang. Well, why? What would make you rise to such occasion? All four of them came out, and the third one that came out, and it looked like that he had been affected in his life where his legs were no longer able to move on their own, and he had to use the crutches, and he dragged himself out there on those crutches. And he was the bass of that group, and he sang this line that I kept with me, Ed, for my whole ministry, even to this moment of my preaching. He's a bulwark that faileth not. Never to give up. Never will he fail you. And I just praised God and I began to look around at others. And others were watching Pentecostals and charismatics pray. Nudging one another going. I'm not just talking about that as a witness. I'm talking about having the power to witness out into this neighborhood, out into the highways and byways, and out to share that Jesus Christ is alive. I do it all the time.
Yes.
I just tell people about Jesus.
Yes.
You know, when you love somebody so much, and husbands, you better be doing this. And you talk to your friends, and you talk to your co-workers. I know if you really love your wife, you're going to say, I just love my wife so much. Before we go on any further with this conversation, I want you to know I love my wife. Praise God. Some of you are going like this. Others are going, I wish you wouldn't have said that. I'm in trouble now. Well, get the Holy Ghost. You'll get out of that trouble. Praise God. What I'm saying to you is that we want a witness. I'm so proud of Shauna. She goes where most people won't go. You know why? She goes because she's got the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Hallelujah.
She goes and brings a word to people that can hardly talk because their age is causing them problems. I just visited a care center last week as a man was passing, whose funeral I did last Saturday. Or a week before last, I should say, I was there. And literally, I was walking out, and there were people that were there in front of a window, looking out at a trickling little fountain that was just about 2 feet from the window, and the fountain wasn't really that unique.
It was about as unique as a pipe coming out of the ground, water spurting up and going down. But they sat there, looking out that window at that trickle of life to them. I couldn't walk by. I had to walk up to each one in each wheelchair and tell them how much God loves them. And who I was and how I believe God just wants them to enjoy the days of their life and to know that His very present help is with them. And they went from looking at the trickle of life that was less and less to them to looking at me, who was one giving life into their spirit. I think Shauna could bear witness to that, to how they change and how joy comes over their life and how they feel that someone cares. And I'll tell you what makes us care. It's the power and the anointing to be able to witness the love of Jesus Christ. You see, worship without witness is incomplete. Worship without witness is incomplete. We can come to church and we can worship and we can get all happy and smile and all that we can do, but when we walk out, we don't witness. Tell somebody about Jesus. Well, I'm not as forward as you, Pastor. It doesn't have to be a personality like I have that, I mean, I speak to everybody. I'm Mr. Social. Believe me, I am social. The only one that outdoes me is Joanne. And my mother-in-law, Theta, who brought me to the Lord in Stuart, Florida, who I went to when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost because I wanted the Holy Ghost so bad. I finally got baptized after seeking for 6 months. I wasn't giving up. Went to her and I told her and she said, praise God. But I'll tell you, the day that Joanne and Theta got together, I just knew at that point I had no room. And I just sat back and I'm telling you, they should have wrote Facebook. Believe me. And I'm not making fun. I'm telling you, it's beautiful to be social. It's beautiful to have joy. It's beautiful to share. It's beautiful to witness. Because there is power when you witness. Amen. Power to be able to say to somebody, Jesus cares. Jesus loves you. Do I have to witness to a sinner, Pastor? It's good to. Witnessing to your dog's not going to help him at all or her at all. You can practice on them. Amen. Wag your tail if you want to be saved, you know. You know, I'm just saying to you. But you know who you can witness to? Look around the room. You can witness to somebody who already knows Jesus, but they're struggling. They're going through something. You can walk up to them and tell them, be encouraged. A miracle's coming your way. You can be an encourager when you witness. And you can bless them. You can say, I'm praying for you. I'm there for you. If you need anything, call me. You look great today, by the way. That looks good on you, praise God. Not everybody that comes and sits in a church is so full of joy that they can't contain it. They're coming in for something that they can hear, something that can change their life. And it just may be a smile, a hug, an encouraging word, or just the word of witness. I am so glad you're here today. I mean that. I'm so glad that our neighbors are here today. I pray for you. I see some stuff on Facebook that you put there and I pray for you. And I'm so glad. I'm glad to see Rodney and Kevin. I miss Thomas. He should be here. You tell him I said that. But I'm glad. I'm glad for the promise of God. You know why? Not only am I saved, but I'm full of the Holy Ghost. You see, this defining moment that I'm discussing with you today was the birth of the church. It was the beginning of something very powerful that we're part of today. Something that did not end with just one incident. Witnesses together, believers together, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And now there is that placement in their life that they're excited in. And I'm going to share with you in a moment what really happened with them. But I want to share this to you first because it seems to me that somewhere along the generations, it came to a 2 Timothy 3:5 scenario in churches. That particular scripture, having the appearance of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In other words, let's look good, but Holy Ghost, you're not part. We don't want the power. I don't want to be embarrassed if somebody shouts glory or someone gets excited. A friend of mine pastors a church. I know him because he went to school with my children. He pastors a large church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, called Redemption Point. Pastor Kevin Wallace. My daughter attends there, Erin, and her family. And last week he happened to preach a message on Pentecost and how it seems the church is not responding any longer to what happened, like the man at the gate did, and I'll share with you about him in just a moment. And he began to preach about that man at the gate, beautiful, that was lifted up by Peter and who was healed, and began to leap and pray and shout and be thankful. He said all of a sudden this man got up in the midst of 3,000 people there that day and started running all through the church. And people started to clap and everybody was excited. And when he was done running, he asked the man, he said, "Sir, you must have been healed one day." He said, "Yes. Some time back I was prayed for and I couldn't walk. God healed me, and when you talked to me about that today, I had forgotten to praise Him for it. And I remembered what happened that day as though it just happened, and I couldn't do anything else but stand and run." At General Assembly for several years, the Church of God has General Assembly every 2 years. From all over the world, people come. And I used to remember being up on the seats above the main floor, because you had to get there really early to get to the main floor. And I'd watch, and there would be a man down there that during worship, all of a sudden, he'd begin to dance. All over the front of the General Assembly, 30,000 people there. And he'd begin to dance. Every service, there was worship. Everything. I watched it for several years, not judging it, not criticizing it, but enjoying the beauty of it. And one time I asked somebody, "You know, I've been watching this for several years. I am wondering why there aren't other people dancing. Why is he so consistent?" And they said, "Because when he was born without the ability to walk. And in a revival meeting, the Holy Ghost came in. And they prayed for him. And he was completely healed." And he said that every time he went to church thereafter, when he was able to understand and have the ability, after that healing, which was right away, he said he promised God that he would dance whenever there was worship. In every General Assembly, he would dance the most beautiful dance and dance across this large, we're talking auditoriums that sit 30,000 people. And he would dance across the altars because he never forgot to give praise for what God has done for him. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
we must remember again what the Lord has done.
But see, when the church was new and full of God's power, listen to how they described themselves. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received the food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Even after Peter preached that message, when he was heading to the temple to witness, many times he had passed this man at the Gate Beautiful. But this time the Holy Spirit said, look at him. When he looked at him, he had compassion and he told him to come forth and to rise and to be healed. I want you to understand that how wonderful it is that we have this kind of area in our life, and his feet were healed and he gave praise and he began to just thank God. And then after that, they were brought before the council. The city started to get involved because they were enjoying the presence of God. And the council brought them in. In Acts 4:31, when they were through and they had prayed, and the place in which they gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought them the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Then Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid at the apostles' feet. In other words, what was happening there, that there was unity because of the Holy Spirit. People cared one for another. They wanted to help each other. There wasn't jealousy. There wasn't competition. There wasn't fear. There wasn't need. There wasn't want. There was a degree of faithfulness that needs to be restored again into the house of God. A faithfulness that God will meet our need. Amen. Let me close now with you, and I want you to just think for a moment about your relationship with God. 5,000 people were added to the church immediately again because of the power of the Lord. So just within a few days, 8,000 people were saved and added to the church because of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I wonder if you understand, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, there is a desire to testify of the life and the works of the miracles of Jesus. There is a boldness to pray, a boldness to worship, a boldness to witness. There's a fire burning within your heart to cast out the nets and to draw in the harvest of people that can share in what you have received from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a celebration. It's a time of great joy. It's a time where the results that will be confirmed of the relationship that God has in your life and is willing and wants to show all humanity. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us that power to overcome, gives us that power to conquer. It gives you the ability to tear down your Goliaths that attack you. You know, that giant that shows up in a day or sometime through the day and all of a sudden just wants to knock you down. You have great ideas, great goals, great hopes, and in comes that Goliath. Well, when you have the power of the Holy Ghost, you just say, move out of the way. Nothing's going to destroy what God has given me. Nothing's going to come in to my life and change it. Because God has promised. I just feel today that there's people within this church that are losing their joy. And I'm here to tell you, whether it's popular to you or not, I'm here to tell you that the Lord God wants your joy to be overflowing no matter what. You need the power of the Holy Ghost every day, every moment, every waking hour, every prayer breath, every witnessing breath, every worshiping breath. You need to show the joy of the power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen?
Yes.
You need to put your reliance on Him. Your confidence in every circumstance on Him. I can't, preacher. Yes, you can. Yes, you must. Because this is what He wants more than you know. It's the Holy Ghost. Now, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just a preacher. Well, let me tell you something. We go through stuff all the time. Amen. You know what I do? I get up out of my chair wherever I'm sitting. Or if I'm driving. I go to the front door or the side door. I open up the door and I say, devil, Goliath, get out of here in Jesus' name before I release the power of the Holy Ghost on you. I'm a gentleman. I wait till he gets to the door, whatever's there, whatever's troubling me. A sign of faith is what I'm doing. Slam that door shut and then I go back in and begin to pray again. Or I roll the window back up. I want my hair to get messed up, you know. As much as I have. Amen. Praise God. But I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to ask you today, not nudge you, not persuade you, but to ask you, are you willing to come from those chairs? Are you willing to come to this altar today and say, God, fill me again with your Holy Spirit? Are you willing to go to a door and just push that door open and say, get out of here? Because I'm going to walk in the power and the anointing of God from this day forward. I'm going to celebrate my Pentecostal condition. And there's no place for this in my Pentecostal condition. What the place that I have is a place of joy, of happiness, of the fullness of the presence of God. I believe in power of the witness. I believe in the power of worship. And I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that I am a fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. I believe with all my heart that I'm saved, sanctified, and Jesus the baptizer baptized me with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I'm not letting any personality take it from me. I'm not letting any weapon formed against me prosper. I'm not letting any words spoken towards me conquer me. I'm returning them to where they came from because the Bible says that I am going to inherit that which is promised to the righteous. I'm not going to allow people to tear me down. I'm not going to allow words to destroy me. I'm going to stand up in the power and the Holy Ghost of fire, and I'm going to seek the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Would you come now, please? Would you come now? Would you begin to ask the Lord? Would you begin to pray? Would you begin to become a person that says, I'm going to worship, I'm going to witness, and I'm going to walk in victory? Praise God. Hallelujah.